What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 43 of The Overview. I'm Chan Man V, and Fish Sticks is back this week. What's up, Fish Sticks?
I'm incredibly saturated for some reason.
It's very white.
It's the same setup as every other time. I don't understand, but yeah, glad to be back. I had to miss last week for personal reasons, but here I am.
All right. Very cool. Yeah, definitely. Flame back with us this week. What's up, man?
Not much. Feeling good.
Feeling good. All right. We got a new patch that's out, a new event that's out. So lots of new cool things to actually play in the game. You guys get a chance to hop on since the update or the patch has hit?
No. No. I'm at work.
me too.
I wish.
But I didn't get a chance to.
Yeah, one game a season.
You played one game?
Came out like 2 hours ago, so. Or like 1 hour ago. I don't even know.
Yeah. Yeah, you played one game of CTF, Flame?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice, nice. Okay, we're definitely going to be talking about that.
I set up my chat wheel, actually, for Tracer, but it's going to take a long-ass time to set up the chat wheel for every character.
That's true. But yeah, so we're going to be talking about that, of course. Jeff had a quick Delver's update to talk about CTF, which Flame just talked about. And then we've got a few player things, just not as many player news as we've been having the last few weeks, which I guess is a good thing. But we have a lot of events to talk about. We have 3 events going on, or at least went on this past weekend. And so lots of matches to talk about and see how the teams are performing right now. And then, of course, at the end, we've got some emails, questions from you guys. If you're interested in ever emailing us for the show, you can go ahead and do that at theoverview@chainmanv.tv, and we'll try to read out some of those emails, particularly for all the listeners out there. Okay, so anyways, let's start off talking about the Year of the Rooster event. So I was wondering what event they were going to, or what holiday or whatever they were going to have the next event. And I was thinking, you know, it's probably going to be something like Valentine's, and we can, have like a Cupid Roadhog. So I was like getting all excited about that. And then boom, they surprised me with basically Chinese New Year, right? As the new event. And then it dawned on me, yeah, that makes a lot of sense given just how global and how, large of an Asian presence that they have right now with the game too. So were you guys surprised that this was the next event?
Well, I think they sort of teased that a lot of the events coming up wouldn't be exactly what you expected. I mean, we had basically a holiday Christmas one, which is like, of course you're going to get that. We had, the Olympics was kind of unexpected too.
It didn't really
see that coming, but they definitely teased us that we were going to get some events that were not what I guess the Western world would expect. But again, this game, like, the whole point of this game is that it's this diverse open world. It's set in the real world. It's all about diversity and it's all about being global. And it is a very global game. So it makes total sense that they'd activate one of their largest potential audiences in China here.
Yeah, that's true.
Makes sense.
I love how they call it Year of the Rooster too, because it's usually referred to Year of the Cock, but Year of the Rooster, I guess sounds better, right? Flame,
true.
Were you surprised by this event?
Yes and no, I guess. I mean, I think I'm more surprised by the scale. Like, I expected like a little bit of skins, but I honestly think the skins from this patch are better than like, I think all of the patches, arguably, in my opinion anyway.
All right, speaking of which, let's start looking at some of these.
I think the Brawl might be the best Brawl so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, plus or minus Junkenstein, I guess. And
it's the Brawl I'm by far the most interested in.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Brawl, I guess, with the most staying power.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's exciting and like potentially game changing, which I think makes it good. I don't know. I think that it's cool though, because like I've played Dota before. I think Dota used to have Chinese New Year events and like they went above and beyond. So
yeah,
I'm excited.
Yeah. Speaking of the skins, I'm going to talk a little bit about it. Fish Sticks, you were telling me that you thought this D.Va one was one of the best ones.
Yeah. It's turning her mech basically into a little pagoda almost.
That's true.
With the tassels, the skirt looks awesome. I am definitely using that skin. I need to save up some money though, man. That's a 3000 gold skin. I spent 3000 gold on Yeti Winston last update. So I don't have much left. But yeah, that's definitely the skin I'm looking at. It's kind of my favorite out of the group, but there's some good ones in here. Like Reinhardt with this necklace is pretty interesting as well.
Yep.
Roadhog's an actual pig now.
That was interesting. So bringing up the Reinhardt now, dude, I love the necklace on the Reinhardt. That's freaking awesome. But yeah, the Roadhog one, I have to say, is the The one I didn't quite get. Is he supposed to be like a government official or something like that? Like an old Asian government official? Where is he? There he is. He's like a pig. He's definitely a pig, but then I wasn't sure what type of hat that was.
I couldn't tell you. But yeah. That's a cool hat. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Hook, the hook is super interesting looking.
Yeah, what is that? That's like a rake almost.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like one of those old style, you know, like kung fu movies where they have like, you know, the little three pronged claw thing that as a weapon. I think it reminds me of something like that. It looks kind of pretty cool. The Zenyatta one looks pretty interesting too. Have y'all seen that one?
Some of them are like nightmare fuel.
That's what people have been saying about Zenyatta's the Zenyatta one.
Pretty creepy looking, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it looked cool.
And same with Anna, man. Anna's might be like the scariest thing I'll ever look at this week.
Okay, wait, I didn't see the Anna one. Let me see. And this was, oh my god, wow, yeah.
She's wearing that drama.
Holy smokes.
Mask. And the colors are so weird, like, it's like Amerikri, but it's America. Yeah. But it's not really America, it's obviously.
I don't love this one as much.
And the gun looks so weird, I don't know. They're cool, it's just they're very different.
Yeah, this one reminds me a little bit more of like a Summer Games one than it does a Chinese New Year. Let me see. May's got a pretty traditional red one, right? Actually, she's got two of them. Wow, I didn't know that. Oh, wow. Okay, this is cool.
They're making up for the.
Oh, this is nice. This is one of the best ones, in my opinion, this May one. And then Luna. Yeah. Okay, so it's the same thing, just different colors.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I'm realizing now, I think the Winston one, which is also pretty badass, just the way that it's colored and like his hair and stuff, I think it's an homage to kind of the Chinese Monkey King myth.
Oh,
as well. I'm just coming up with this right now.
It's supposed to be Sun Wukong. Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like it.
It does. The hair, definitely. His face, does the Monkey King's face painted though? I was thinking Chinese.
Not always,
stuff,
but
the hair for sure. The hair looks exactly like it.
Yeah.
That's because look at his backpack too. They're like double dragons.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's dope, actually.
That's nice.
I like it.
All right. Who will we miss? Is there any others? Junkrat has the firecrackers, right? Yeah. That's kind of cool. I wonder if he throws firecrackers instead of bombs. That'd be pretty sweet.
You got to imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
like gold or something.
Definitely pretty cool, guys. You got to check it out. It's got lots of gold, obviously, to get them. So hopefully you guys are lucky in your packs. But another thing that Flame mentioned and actually Fishsticks mentioned too is that we've got a new game mode here, which, how do I bring it up? It's an arcade, I guess. It's a new brawl. There we go. Capture the Rooster. And Capture the Rooster is basically Capture the Flag, and it's their attempt at doing it. Jeff had a developer's update that talked about, you know, just a little bit of insight into why they decided to do Capture the Flag and maybe what the future of it is. Did you guys get a chance to watch that video or no?
Yeah. And he touches, so early in the beta, Flame will remember, this is one of the talking points of the community. It's like, we want Capture the Flag. If there's a new game mode, you know, everyone's bringing up Capture the Flag as something that they'd love to see. Right. And Blizzard was very upfront with some of the things that Jeff touched on in this video, that they didn't want to do Capture the Flag because it favored characters like Tracer. You know, we're going to probably see Tracer and Lucio in every single Capture the Flag game forever. I don't really see that changing. But basically in this video, Jeff says, you know, we struggled with this. We were thinking about reducing people's abilities that are movement based or this and that. But in the end, it's like, no, like that's the whole point of these characters. Like we want it to be a fast paced game mode. We want you to be able to pick and use these characters that have these movement abilities. So that's ultimately what we're getting. And I'm really excited. I mean, I'm a Tribes guy. I played Capture the Flag exclusively for like 10 years. And it was great in Quake. It's great in Tribes. I don't know how it was in TF2, but I'm really excited to try it out. A lot of people I know in the community are already saying like, can we get this over 2CP? Like, they haven't even tried it yet, obviously. But at this point, I'm really excited to try it later tonight.
Yeah, I think
you played Flame, right?
Yeah, I played a little bit. It's well, I mean, TF2 never had touch return, which I think is like a huge aspect of CTF. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why it never picked up. But I guess I want to talk about the developer video. Like he mentions, or he makes like a talking point about how it's going to feel unbalanced because of the hero abilities, mm-hmm. which I thought like made a little, like it makes almost no sense to me in some way. Like I'm not trying to like badmouth, but like when you consider the fact that like, I feel like the hero diversity on CTF is just better than payload and even like any other mode. Cause like you could play Torbjorn on this. You could like validify Bastion on this mode.
Oh yeah, Bastion would be great defending.
Because like you could play defense with Bastion, you could play defense with Torbjorn, like you could play offense. Like there's so many different hero things, combinations you can come up with.
Junkrat even.
Yeah, like people were talking about like the Winston, but like today I played Torbjorn and I just turtled, and then we got like a Zenyatta ult, and I like Molten Cord and Zenyatta ulted, and we just like walked in and grabbed the flag, and like what do you do against that? Like how do you kill a Molten Cord Torbjorn? Like, you know, it's like you can do really wonky stuff.
Well, so, what's interesting too is that like I felt like the assumption was that there would always be team fights that would basically result in a flag capture where, mm-hmm. you know, like in Capture the Flag and some of the other games, it wasn't always like that. It'd be like, I would say there was always one big group and then there was always one or two guys like defending, you know, in some fashion, depending on what characters you had. At least when I've played different, you know, CTF games, it tended to be that versus just all six of us move together and then we just leave our flag just completely vulnerable so it can be, you know, back capped or anything like that. So it sounded like he was under the assumption, you know, towards the end when they were thinking about whether to, you know, have basically the ability to capture the flags on the battlefield versus at the points, you know, the base points, you know, I'd be able to pick it up, I guess, it was the big thing. Because he was talking about worse on Gulch, right? He made it sound like, well, there's going to be team fights anyway. So and with the abilities the way they are, we just figured we just leave it, right? Freeform and just let Winston's just be able to just, you know, like fly with the flag and not drop it when they're using abilities. So I don't know. What do you guys think? You think it is going to be team fights that just results in, okay, we won the team fight. Now we get like 10, 15 seconds to, you know, just carry the flag back.
I mean, that's like if you're like trying to lose, right? Like, why would you not? Like, I don't know. There's obviously like different strategies, which I think like is why the video made like a weird, I'm not saying I didn't like the video. It's just like weird the assumptions that he made, because I feel like you skirmish so much in CTF. Like it's never really about the 66 clashes. Like it's not like payload where you're just constantly like death balling into each other trying to push the cart. It feels more like, oh, one or two people push up, one or two people stay back, you know, like you try to grab the flag, we have ultimate, we'll go in now. And then maybe you'll get like a really big ult fight. If people are turtling really hard, you'll get like five people in at once, but six, like probably not. I don't know. I think that there's like some weird, I don't want to compare it to TF2 too much, but like when you consider TF2, right, there were so many weapons and so many different here like classes that had all these abilities, and like it was never really balanced, but the game modes made it balanced because the objectives were the same for both teams, you know, like with 5CP and CTF, it was like, oh, you can run this overpowered hero or class, but we can also run this overpowered class. So then suddenly like there's balance just because of mirroring.
Yeah, right.
And I think that like CTF makes this, like it could make this game feel really, really good, because like if everybody can pick all of these crazy heroes, then like can you really complain about the other team having the crazy heroes, you know?
The biggest thing for me is that if CTF was a competitive format, there's no question that the compositions would be different than what we see with Payload and what we see with King of the Hill.
100%.
But right now we see some similarities on both of those formats, and this would be completely different. It'd be really refreshing to see. I wonder, what do you move slow when you get the flag? Like, do you move slower? Is there any kind of,
you can't use
to
invulns.
It?
Like, I think it'll drop the flag if you, like, pop Trans or Reaper Wraith.
Okay.
But I think that, like, certain abilities are, you can't use them. Like, you can't, like, blink and grab the flag and rewind out with the flag. You, like, drop the flag, I think, or you just can't use it. I forget.
Well, it takes time to actually cap the flag is what he was saying, too. They made sure it takes a few seconds to cap it. So you can't literally just tap, you know, like blink, 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 grab it and just, like, recall out, like, super quickly. So maybe a turret could defend it relatively well against something like that, I think.
I was playing Torbjorn, so I'm not really sure. Like I'm pretty sure though you don't grab it instantly, because I think there was a Genji on the flag and he wasn't picking it up, so yeah, I think you have to like, stand on it for a second or two.
Yeah,
you have to stand on it for a second to pick it up. For me and Clout, my buddy from Tribes, brings this up, being able to cap the flag when it isn't, when your flag isn't home, is kind of the main difference between this type of CTF and CTF from Quake and Tribes. It sounds like that it was similar in TF2 as well. And I don't know. We'll have to see how this plays out. I have, like, just from my personal experience, I have to agree with Clout. Like, that's going to really change the dynamic. And in my opinion, it could make CTF and Overwatch very offense heavy, because if you can cap the flag when the other team has your flag, then, you know, it doesn't put as much weight on defense, potentially. The other thing that this means is that we won't have what's called a standoff, where both teams have each other's flags, which is something that was like defining in Quake and Tribes back in the day. You know, these long standoffs, like who's going to break the standoff first? You know, how many do you push together as a team to try and like all push forward and return your flag, or do you hold most people on defense and hold the flag carrier all the way home? Like, so I'm a little curious to see how this plays out. I wouldn't be surprised if we do end up seeing it changed maybe one day. If it turns out that the game is just kind of like a cluster, that I think it could add some more strategic depth potentially if you had it so that you had to have your flag home to actually capture and get a point. But we'll just have to see, obviously. Comes out now, so get playing. I'm actually going to be looking for people streaming today while I'm at work, because I have way too many meetings. I can't just ditch. Otherwise, I probably would.
No, I think everybody can agree that we're happy at least they're giving this a go, you know, in the terms of the Brawl or the Arcade. He did make it sound like the destination for this is more likely the Arcade than competitive mode. But, you never know. If this thing ends up going super well and it seems to be super balanced, you know, we could definitely see this maybe put into competitive mode. And that would be great. So think of this as PTR for Capture the Rooster. And we've got 3 weeks to give it a run. But I'm excited. I think this is potentially going to be... this is the best competitive Brawl, in my opinion. The Junkinstein one, obviously, was an awesome co-op one. But this will be... great test.
You can't make like custom servers with Brawl modes.
No, you can't.
So like that's like something that I really wish that like
wait you can oh, wait no there's a few wait. There's a couple that you can do. I can
check right now, but
I guess I
want to talk more to Lou with what Ben was saying. I was thinking about this, like, what if you got into like a stalemate with like two tracers that had the flag? I feel like in a pub setting it would be like you could go for like 30 minutes, honestly.
Yeah.
Seriously. So true. Yeah.
And I think that like that's kind of the fear, because like I agree with the flag not being a base thing, but I was just thinking, like, if you had a tracer in your base with like a Torbjorn set up, and like maybe they switched to Reinhardt to like block them off and you could put up a wall to like block your tracer in a corner. I don't know. It could get really, really, really bad really quick. But
at the same time, it'd be pretty funny moments, though.
Yeah, for sure.
That's definitely true. We'll just have to see how it plays out.
We can't stack, though, right?
What do you mean?
You can't hero stack in this game.
No.
Okay, God, that would... Yeah, I hope you can't do that. That would be terrible.
Oh, God, it would be like the old days of King of the Hill with, like, four Tracers and two Lucios.
Bunch of Winstons. Yeah, exactly.
There's none. You can't make this you can't make a custom server. So like I don't know, it's a Brawl at the end of the day, which I think is my biggest gripe, right? That like it's not a PTR or something that like I want to be able to do rule set CTF and then play Legion. But
well, just think of this as the PTR in my opinion. Yeah. And we'll see what comes from it. At least this we know is out in the production and there's going to be a ton of people playing it, so they'll have a ton of data, and I'm sure have a lot to say about it next week. Okay, well, why don't we move on to the patch notes? You know, we've been talking about the patch, obviously, off and on the last few weeks, but the big patch, you know, with D.Va, Ana, is finally out. There were a couple points or a couple changes that we didn't get a chance to talk about on the show. I might have alluded to it, but we never got a chance to really officially talk about it with the second wave of changes. And that involved the Bionic Grenade. Not only the heal boosting to 50%, or reduced to 50% by 50%, but the duration's also reduced from 5 seconds to 4 seconds. So I don't think we ever talked about that. What do you guys think about that change?
We've been talking about Ana for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, but I'm particularly glad to see the duration reduced from 5 seconds to 4 seconds. Honestly, it's a huge relief, because it means it's not just nerfing the 50% boost to healing. That was a great step in the right direction, but it didn't touch the anti-heal, which is arguably the stronger aspect of the biotic grenade to start with. So reducing it from 5 seconds to 4 seconds affects both both benefits of the biotic grenade, both the anti-heal and the healing boost. I still would be open to them testing anti-heal reduced to 50% as well, instead of entirely full anti-heal. But just, everything counts. And Ana was just so, so strong. And now I'm really just wondering, is this even enough still to make Ana kind of not a must pick? I certainly think we're going to see teams experiment with all kinds of other things. But I still think, even after all of this, Ana is going to be strong. I don't know. What do you think, Flynn?
I mean, purple's still really good. At the end of the day, that's kind of the difference. Yeah. I mean, that's what I call it now. I don't know what to call it. The debuff.
Grenade. He's talking about the grenade effect.
When people are low, you can't even call people are low in Overwatch because D.Va heals them up so fast. So it's either they're purple or they're alive. You're either full health or you're purple. Those are the two statuses enemy in Overwatch. So I think that the purple is the problem still. I mean, not really the problem. The hero is definitely nerfed. This is a huge nerf. And the lack of D.Va picking will amplify this, as I think Reinhardt's will actually get punished now. Because there were some crazy times where people like McCree and Reaper weren't able to kill Reinhardt's if they had the amp heal. And I think that this makes her diveable a little bit more, because there were a lot of times where you'd be Tracer or Genji or something and she'd nuke the ground and then Lucio's amp would double heal her and she just would never die. So she'll definitely die a little bit more now. Maybe dive comp will become a little bit more prevalent. She's still way more survivable than Zenyatta ever will be. So I think that adds a little bit of greatness to her kit. I think people are overlooking the survivability aspect of it.
Totally, yeah.
More so than the fact that she can heal so much. It's she's just safer to pick. And I think that, I mean, this nerfs her, but I don't think it changes her status or is meta changing in terms of her specifically.
For me, I still think it's the survivability that's the biggest thing that bothers me about her. Because if she was, if you could kill her easily, I don't think it would be as... It would just be more risky to pick her, right? If she was as squishy, or maybe even imagine if she was even more squishy than Zenyatta, which is pretty hard to do. Then her having a super powerful toolkit, I would be okay with it. But if you're going to keep her survivability, then it's harder. It's harder to move the levers on the other stuff right now.
Yeah, there's a weird balance where I think Zenyatta's hitbox is why he's so easy to kill.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you actually switch Zenyatta and Ana's hitboxes, their models, just change their models and nothing else, I think that they might be balanced in some weird way.
Make him standing instead of sitting in the air.
Well, it's a huge deal, right? Have you ever played Hanzo against the Zen versus an Ana? It's so hard to kill Zenyatta with Scatter Arrow because he floats. It's stuff that I think might need to be the difference maker. I think Ana's hitbox is too small compared to how much HP she can give herself, as opposed to Zenyatta, who just has the hitbox of a Torbjorn, so just eats every single bullet that you shoot at him.
Zenyatta's hitbox still tilts me. It's so massive. Widest hitbox to for any 200 HP character in the entire game. By far,
there's
no better feeling than playing Reaper and you see a Zen on your screen. You just know that it's dead. Yeah, you're goodbye.
Reaper, Tracer,
you can't
Eva.
Miss.
Yeah, you actually can't miss. Line, it's crazy. Yeah.
Genji, right click, shurikens, you're gonna hit. It's so easy to kill.
Poor Zen, man. Bad. It wasn't that long ago that Zen was played everywhere, so he's still got that potential. It's just when you compare it to Ana, and Ana's actually his counter, anyways. So it's bizarre.
Well, the thing is, you would think that Tran should beat Nano Boost, right? But then the purple.
Yeah, the purple. The purple plague, man. So, all right, moving on. We've got, of course, the D.Va. The D.Va armor reduce, health increase, which we talked about. And then the damage being nerfed just slightly, very, very slightly, if you're talking about in terms of each shot. I think the total is -2 damage if you land every single shot for each of the the scenarios. Hog 2.0 is out, of course. Sombra. So this is the one that we didn't talk too much about. We did mention that the hack cooldown, at least the hacking is the actual time it takes to hack something has gone down from 1 second to 0.8 seconds. But then I didn't realize the cooldown was reduced from 12 seconds to 8 seconds. So I think that's a bigger deal.
That was added after the first round, the first PTR patch earlier this month. This was added afterwards, I guess. And yeah, this is a pretty big deal. I mean, it's going to be easier to hack and you're going to be able to hack way more often. I still don't see her manual single target hack being a really strong part of her kit, just because you have to put yourself in a lot of risk to get close enough to hack in the first place. So it's still going to be very hard to pull off against adept teams that are calling your position out. But look, I mean, I think Sombra, I'll stick to my words that I said last time I was on the show, not last week, but the week before. I think Sombra is going to be viable in situations, especially 2CP. Her EMP still so strong. You know, she might be a little bit underpowered, but players are going to find ways to make her more and more useful over time. And I think this is a good change for her in general.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't want to say she's going to be overpowered, but I think she's going to start teetering on that line. I think, like, I want to say the big, I mean, this is like a bold statement, like maybe a rude statement, but like, I think one of the biggest things holding back the NA and like just the competitive scene in general is like people's willingness to learn new heroes. And I think that like Sombra's one of those heroes that like once someone like actually gets good and like a team gets good at like running it efficiently, like more efficiently than even like Complexity right now, I think that's when like you'll see her get picked a lot more. I think like one of the issues that teams are running into is that they're not really sure what the best use of the EMP is, or like even just how to position yourself for the hack. Cause like, I guess to what Ben was saying, like I was playing, I think it was Anubis, and there's like that upper ledge, you know, like on first point where you can just kind of sit up there, or like on defense or offense, depending on if you get up there, and you can hack people on the point.
What,
like,
really?
From Wait. Up there, yeah. And like if you're up there and they
you mean
can't
on the right
get
side,
you or
right?
something,
you mean
left side.
The, right, the left side. Okay.
Well, I hacked a tracer that was blinking around on the point, like underneath me. And I was like, Jesus, like, this is really good.
Like, you can hack from up there?
Yeah, the range is actually insane. So, like, I don't think people have really played around with her enough to, like, understand the ranges. And, like, she's, like, a really good Mei counter, too, because I think that, like, the range of hack is actually longer than the range of the left click. She's, like, very, very good. It's just people haven't really tried playing her enough to see how crazy it is. I don't know. The EMP is insane, and she'll definitely start getting picked when someone, like, takes the time to make her really good.
What do you guys think she's most similar to? Like, if a player that right now is playing X in a certain composition, who would that person be that would switch over to Sombra? That's not just your gen. Don't say Flex, because obviously that's like a generic answer. Who do you think would be closest to it?
I mean, people say Tracer, but like, or the people that would play Tracer, but the hero is very different than Tracer. Like, she's more cooldown reliant. So maybe like the Zarya player would have to get better at her, but you need like super good aim, which is another problem. I don't know. That's what I mean. It's like you need to like actually put in the practice. I don't know that like you can say, oh, your Tracer player should just pick her up, because she requires a lot more micro.
Right.
Most similar to Tracer in that you have this like ability to get away. But they're really, I don't think there's too much more parallel.
She fires kind of quickly through her clip.
Yeah,
she has a good clip.
It's about the similarities. I mean, that's true. Okay, well, I agree with you, Fish Six. I think that eventually we are going to see Sombra more and more. I thought we'd see her more and more already, but you know, maybe with this actual change, you know, we'll see people, you know, give it a go, and then get a chance to see it in competitive. It might take like, I don't know, one of the Korean teams actually watching like Complexity or some others and like, oh yeah, this is like great. And then all of a sudden it becomes a huge thing over there first. But the NA teams don't seem to be going crazy about, or you know, just using it in a very experimental way yet. But it's hard. It's like with all the 4-tank meta and the 3-tank meta, it's, I don't know, it's definitely not the most obvious thing to do is play Sombra.
It's just harder. It's like the, You can do it, I think, right now even. I think Complexity's strategy has the validity to like just EMPing 4 tanks or EMPing 3 tanks and then right. just trying to row them down. But I feel like trying it with Roadhog is like harder, you know? Like, I would have rather them try it with, like, Reaper. Like, imagine, like, EMP an entire team and then just, like, meat shot them down with Reaper. Like, that could be really good.
Oh, but... you mean who's doing the damage? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, just, like, the follow-up to it. Because she's not very good at... Like, even when you EMP six people, like, she still has trouble getting kills depending on, like, how the fight went or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the patch notes, guys. You know, definitely... give it a go. Let me, you know, at least let us know what your experience has been with all these changes. But let's move on to some balance talk. We've already been touching upon it, of course. But Fishsticks, you had a few things you want to talk about here?
Yeah, I mean, I just jotted down some notes and some general questions, which we'll find out the answers to pretty imminently here, as there are a couple tournaments going on right now. Apex, we've got Winter Premier this weekend. So we're going to see these new balance changes in action almost immediately. But I just had some general questions, which, you know, I'd pose to the audience and just think about and talk with you guys about as well. And the most pressing, obvious one here is with the Ana nerfs, with the Hog slight nerfs, with the D.Va nerfs, is triple tank going the way of the Dodo? Is this enough to kind of move us back to what we used to see most frequently, which was 2-2-2, or even triple DPS? We've seen, actually, out of Korea, we've seen some triple DPS played by Misfits, as well as some other teams out there, already, even before this patch hit. We've actually been seeing in Korea 2-2-2 as well, a lot more so than the West. But do these relatively significant nerfs to Ana, to D.Va, to Hog, make it so we're going to go back into that 2 DPS meta that was kind of dominant before this patch? My feeling is, yeah, we're headed that direction for sure, and for a lot of different reasons. But Flame, I don't know if you want to just comment on your thoughts there.
I think like triple DPS or like just even double has like a lot of validity when it comes to like that first fight that you take on offense, because you can like dive in. Usually your spawn's better on the first point, and like you can play around that. But I think triple DPS like really struggles at like closing out maps because of like the way the game works in terms of like you needing to team wipe and stuff. So I think we'll like start seeing 2-2-2 more towards like the later stages of maps. A lot of teams I don't think are switching early enough or like prepping. Like people will run dive comp on like Anubis, but if you run dive comp on Anubis, you'll like take first point easily generally, but like second point you kind of like start fumbling because you're lack of like you don't have Reinhardt or something, or you'll be like most teams will run Winston with dive. I don't know. I think that like it definitely opens up the doors. It's just I think teams have to start strategizing for different points of maps more now, as mm-hmm. like the way it was like I think in closed beta. Like we would have when I was on a team, like we would have comps for like each individual stage of the map. Like, oh, for Dorado, we're gonna switch off our Reinhardt for a Winston or something, or you know, along those lines. So I definitely think that there's more validity to it. It won't be as easy to just say, okay, we're just gonna plot four tanks down on the cart, you know. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many little reasons why I think we're going to see dive comp in particular come back. Hook, the fact that the hook, if you're breaking line of sight, it's going to break. That helps by far. That helps Genji and Tracer more than any other characters in the game. It might be subtle, but it's something. The fact that D.Va's weaker means that I think in relation to D.Va, Winston is stronger. I mean, D.Va was an incredible counter to Winston in so many different situations. The fact that obviously you can't power heal tanks so much means that a Winston and a Genji and a Tracer diving on a specific target, even if it's a Reinhardt or a D.Va or a tank of any kind, means that Ana's not going to be able to just power heal them through folks diving. So personally, as somebody that played a lot of Genji back in the day and loves playing Winston, I am super excited to just see if this does bring back the dive comp into the Western meta. I will again just reiterate that we've been seeing a lot out of the Korean teams, so it may have already been going that direction, but these changes are certainly going to make that more so.
I mean, speaking of just a little bit about games that happened this weekend and even this week, you know, we're going to talk about events in a second, but in terms of balance, we're seeing a lot of different things, you know, a lot of different DPS heroes that we were talking about. I mean, we've been seeing some Pharah, we've been seeing lots of Tracer. In fact, I feel like it's this, the amount of 76 we've been seeing has been going down, at least
especially
compared.
In Korea.
Yeah, especially in Korea.
76 in the Korean games. I know Flame's watched more than I have, but
yeah. So how much of this do you think is in lieu of the patch that happened today, versus a natural progression with, you know, away from the triple tank, quad tank metagame?
It's like very map dependent, I think, like, and like stage dependent again. Like, I think you like need high ground to run 76, and because like teams are starting to exploit the fact that like you can just kind of dive a 76. I mean, like UCL to run like D.Va, and the D.Va like brings the 76 down to like half or even like three quarters, and like a tracer or something can clean them up. That's why like we were seeing a lot of tracer recently. But I'm not really sure, I guess, whether or not it has something to do with the meta. I know for a fact that like the Korean teams and the teams that are in Korea, like the Western ones, weren't sure when the patch was going to be hit. Like, because we only got announced the Rooster thing, like I think this week. So the matches from last week or like, yeah, last week's Apex matches, I think the teams were practicing PTR. So that might have came in play. I think 76 is still really strong, and I don't think people really are going to start appreciating like how much damage he actually does. Like people remember when like people were like, oh god, 76 is overpowered now with all this damage, and now D.Va's gone. Like the only
real, he can only be better,
obvious,
right?
Counter. Like, yeah, he can only really be better. It's just if teams are running Tracer Genji and you just pick one person, you can generally get the kill now.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because on one hand, what was the best counter in the entire game to a 76 on a high ground? It was D.Va. Now 76 is going to have a slightly better time in that matchup. But at the same time, I really think we're going to just see so much more dive-oriented comps that are just going to jump right, you know, not just D.Va, but a Genji and a Winston, or a Genji and a D.Va, or a Genji and a Winston and a Tracer, are all going to jump on 76 at once. So I feel like this patch is like both good and bad for 76, but ultimately he's still like stupid strong.
Yeah, the Ananuke plus heal station used to be like ridiculously good. I mean, now it's slightly nerfed. So that's something to note, I guess.
It's going to be very, very interesting to see. I'm just very curious to see the matches this week too. Just immediately what people have in store with all these changes. And it starts tonight, actually. I think we have a bunch of matches tonight and even earlier this morning, I believe. So definitely we'll be reporting on that next week. But in terms of team and player news, we don't have quite as much as we've had the last few weeks. I feel like that was a huge segment given at least the last couple of weeks we had so much news. But we got a couple things. Toronto Esports signs Oni God. So, you know, it wasn't very long that Oni God was, like a free agent here. So that's pretty cool. I don't know that much about Toronto Esports. I mean, I just realized that Huck was a general manager. I didn't even know that. But how much do you guys know about that team?
I don't think I've ever seen them play. So
I recognize some of these names. I don't know much. I know that they've been planning on building this team since back at Agents Rising, which was the first major tournament after the game came out. Mm-hmm. I met the owner who was hanging out with Chris Huck way back then. So this has been in the works for a while. We haven't really seen them play. Doesn't look like they actually have a full roster yet either. I only see five people.
Yeah, I only see five people too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not a full team. I think they had four people before that. So I'm not sure what they're doing. I mean, it's news, but I don't know about the scale of it.
The one noteworthy thing here is it's yet another team with combining Europeans and North Americans, and this game continues to be all funky when it comes to like teams just getting people from all over the world constantly.
Okay. I mean, it's happening again. Yeah. It's okay as long as you can manage it, you know, in terms of the logistical aspects and the practice and everything. Okay, yeah, so another North American team potentially there. Okay, the next bit of news is no team signings or anything like that, but IDQD, who's been a free agent now for months, you know, a couple months now, I believe, maybe even more, apparently is trying out for NRG. So what do you guys think about that?
We've been waiting for IDQD to say something for so long. Yeah. When did he drop out a Fnatic? I feel like it was before Overwatch Open or after? I don't remember. It's been a really long time.
October or something. I don't know. So it's been
years.
Months.
Literally
been
years. Months.
Not years. Not years.
It feels like it's
been
a long time.
So glad to see that. And I think this... So it's also kind of weird because we're not sure if Enigma is still going to be with NRG. And Enigma is a very talented hit scan player. But IDDQD, it seems like he can play a little bit more of the McCree soldier role. Mm-hmm. We know that Enigma is an amazing tracer, but anyway, Enigma was playing more tanks for the team at a certain point. So I wonder if Enigma is still part of that roster, or if IDDQD is kind of replacing him, if they're still looking to replace him after IDDQD. And again, all these are rumors, not 100% confirmed, but it is still exciting. I mean, obviously lots of NRG fans out there, obviously lots of IDDQD fans. I mean, he's got one of the strongest streaming presences out of like any pro player right now. I'm just excited to see where he lands.
Yeah, I'm not sure, I guess, what Enigma's deal is, because he was trying out for Liquid this week, but...
Oh, really?
I didn't realize that. He played with them for... What tournament was that? The AMM? So, that was a thing. Enigma had, like, this weird confidence issue, and like I think on that team, where he would always tell them like, I'm not really confident in my hit scan, even though he had like arguably one of the best aim abilities in like the TF2 scene, and even in this game, like when he played Tracer, he would like pound, but nobody ever but like he himself was holding himself back with like this weird I'm not good enough mentality, which I think was kind of dumb in retrospect. So I don't know. I wasn't really a fan of the NRG announcement, because it was like, oh, we're going to see, like, we're not sure if we're going to cut people. So, like, there's probably a lot of people who are, like, on the chopping block, but they haven't actually been chopped yet.
We're starting to see that a little bit more. We're starting to, like, see people who've been on their roster, you know, like, on team rosters, but not playing for them.
Yeah, like, bench too easy. He's not cut.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, he gets mad when you say cut, because he's not technically cut. I don't know. It's like stuff like that. It's like, okay.
We just saw the Betch just finally leave Cloud9, right?
He's been sitting on their roster, I think, waiting for buyout. I don't even know if he was waiting for buyout or how. Maybe his contract was like a year long or something. So they
I think it was. Yeah, he hasn't played for 3 or 4 months.
No, and he wasn't ever intending on playing again. So I don't know what happened there. So whatever. It's just it's like a weird lull. Or like that just happens.
Yeah, whatever. It's just part of the business when you're signing contracts for certain periods of time. But anyways, it would be great to see IDDQD, you know, playing on a team again.
Though, can we talk about that? How do you guys feel about that?
I think they're still trying to figure out exactly what roles everybody's going to be playing. Because if IDDQD gets on that team for Enigma, then where's Clockwork play? And
Clockwork's Audi, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
I put money on that, but I'm not positive. I mean, he's like technically they only announced Seb Barton is staying, you know. They were like, oh, we're keeping Numb locked and Dummy, and then everyone else is just kind of whatever. That was more or less the announcement. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you think about IDDQD's skill set, it probably has the most crossover with Clockwork, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Sense. There are other people. There's still some other free agents too, so there may be a couple couple rumors and announcements in the near future for NRG. We'll have to see. Exciting though, this is fun. It's all, you know, it's definitely cool to see the players kind of switching and jumping on teams, and us getting a chance to see different combinations of big name players playing together. Good stuff. All right, events, guys. Let's talk about events. We've got 3 big ones. Obviously, Apex, NGE, and then even Alienware Monthly Melee started up again. But why don't we start with Korea and start talking about Apex? So this is the second week. I think last week was literally like the first day of matches where we talked about Envious and Misfits, I believe. So this week we actually got a chance to see Cloud9 and Fnatic to start things off. Conbox versus Cloud9. Flame, what did you think? Spoilers, by the way, guys. Spoilers here.
Yeah, we're going to spoil, but Conbox not looking like a tier one team, I guess. C9 looked really good, I thought, like, individually. I think everyone had Mendo's Tracer was probably the best I've seen it, or like probably one of the best Tracers I've seen in recent like mental history, I guess. So I think that there was a lot there to talk about. I guess importantly, Surefort wasn't playing DPS, he was playing like off tank,
right? That was surprising.
A big deal.
That was very
Gaz's Roadhog looked really good. But again, I feel like they weren't playing a top tier team. It was a very one-sided match, you know, like all things considered. And I didn't feel like Kambox really stood a chance at any point in that match. But C9 looked really good, I think. And the new roster definitely looks like it has a lot of potential. And I think that's what's most exciting about that match and just like on the whole.
Yeah, Cloud9 ended up winning 3-1, but it felt more like a 3-0 type of match to me. But that's good. We've been waiting for Cloud9 to start looking good. And getting that first win, we were mentioning last week, it's huge in these groups because you can't lose twice. So obviously that first game is a big deal, so you don't put too much pressure on yourself. Actually, you could get through with just one win, right?
It'd be hard. Yeah, there'd be like a possible weird tie scenario, head-to-head. But I think I will say though that Shreveport's like Zarya didn't look super good. Like I think I don't want to like call him out, but I think he went for like I just remember him getting like two gravitons eaten or something in a row, or some ridiculously hard to do thing. But they still came out really well. They all played. Their comps were a little weird, but it was different. I think they were practicing PTR, anticipating PTR patch. That team's going to be very scary though if we ever go triple DPS.
Like it's cool to see Gods. Gods back.
Yeah.
I mean it's been with him as well. It's been months.
The memes are back.
Yeah, that guy's hilarious. He actually has like one of the funniest streams of all time. I wish he would stream more often because that guy has a quirky sense of humor.
Yeah, because he calls all of his streamers his nephews and they refer to him as uncle. Like, did you see his announcement or whatever? His C9 announcement? It's like,
I missed it.
It's like, welcome back. I'm back. Or like, welcome back, your uncle or something. It was like in the announcement. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, he's a great dude. I love him, but. He's very heavy on the memes.
So you're perfect. Saying that Gots was focusing mainly on Roadhog, and yet Shreveport was still playing off tank, so they were just running like triple tank.
It was map dependent. I think Gods was playing Genji though, which was weird. I think Shreveport is just relegated to that Zarya role right now, because I don't think that they have plans of removing Zarya from the meta or like at any point, because Zarya's, I mean, her stock. Arguably, I think goes down this patch. There's like a weird thing where people are like, oh my god, Graviton won't get eaten anymore, but like you won't get as many Gravitons. So like people have to remember that is that like if you're not farming off of D.Va, like Graviton takes a long time to build right now. And like you're seeing a lot of Koth maps where like teams actually just don't get a Graviton off. And that like has been happening a lot actually, or even in your pubs. Like if you lose the first fight, like sometimes your Zarya just will never get Graviton. So there's like a weird balance there. But I think it's more like Shreveport wants to be in control of the Gravitons, or like he feels most comfortable in, on that hero, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, if he doesn't play it, who else is going to play it?
Exactly. Like, that's what I mean. Maybe really Gods, but like it's weird to see Shreveport not on Genji, you know? Because like he was always known for his Genji in beta when they were Google Me.
It's like all this these decisions made by relative skill, which is.
I mean, I'm sure we'll see him on Genji. Like maybe Gods will be playing Zarya at some point due to some comp and they just need a Genji or want a Genji, but. For that match, it was, I mean, again, it was like very weird in terms of the matchups. Like the team didn't look super strong, Kambox, and like I felt like they were playing as if they were ahead, you know, like they were playing a little bit more cocky. Like I think they ran Mercy defense. So I think that there was like some of that going
on. There's confidence there.
But I want to see them more.
Match. Yeah.
Playoffs will be very good and interesting, I think.
I do have to say, I don't want to see Shreveport on Zarya. I mean, I feel like that just takes away from, like,
Mendo's
spectators.
Mendo's got a good Zarya.
Yeah, actually, right? I've seen
Well, Mendo's, I think Mendo's got the best Tracer on the team, but Shreveport has the best Genji, and then Gods probably has the best Hog. So someone has to, like, there's got to be Gib, you know? Someone's got to play Zarya.
I know, but we don't want to see...
Now that Kai'Kai's gone, so...
Like, when I want to see the superstars playing the heroes that they should be playing, and not having to... compromise.
Maybe they should just ditch Zarya then. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Just screw Zarya.
But hey, I mean, it's cool to see the dynamics switching around, like different players playing different heroes in different situations. And that's nice.
It's a selfish thing.
They're going to be very good, I think.
Yeah. It's good. It's definitely been a long time coming, and it's great to actually seeing them getting some momentum here in Korea. The next match we got is Fnatic. It's the first time we actually got a chance to see Fnatic perform in Korea, and they played Kongdu Panthera. And quite honestly, they didn't look very good either. I think Kongdu Panthera played well, but Fnatic, I don't think played their best. What'd you think? Any super glaring things that stuck out to you, Flame?
They looked uncomfortable. I don't know. Kongdu Panthera played like very good Overwatch. Like I say that, like obviously, right? They won, but they were like switching heroes. They would like go back to spawn something that you don't see anymore. Like it used to be a very classic thing.
That's true.
I don't know where teams like lost that ability where like you're on offense and you see the enemy comp and then you switch. Like it was refreshing because I watched like NGE so much. And then nobody, like, teams would see, like, Symmetric Torbjorn or something and then never switch to, like, Pharah or Tracer or something just to get by. And then Kungju Panthera instantly sees Symmetra and they switch to Pharah, like, immediately. And I was like, thank God. Like, someone still can, like, will do this, you know? So I think Kungju Panthera played really well, but, yeah, agreed. I think Fnatic didn't look comfortable at all. Like, a couple players had, like, pretty... They didn't seem like they were having impacts. I don't want to call anybody out, but there were definitely some players that seemed like they were having a rough day or whatever. So maybe they'll look better in the future. I mean, it's early, so it's their first time in Korea. It's maybe
it definitely seemed like an off day more than it did just a complete domination, even though Kungju Panthera probably is a better team, but it should have been much closer than it was.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Fnatic, of course, they had a good showing at MLG Vegas, but it just feels like they've been on a downtrend.
They're like they're like the meta slave team, is like how I put it.
The meta like the slave team.
Yeah, like when there's a meta, they always play to it. Like they always they won't budge, you know? And they were trying new things in this matchup. Like I think they would play like Buds on 76. Or like Buds on Tracer as opposed to Quillmat. Right? And like they would keep the Zarya in every single comp, but like I felt like Quillmat never really had a good opening because they weren't always running D.Va. Like we saw Hafikul, I think, come off D.Va in that matchup too. But like they were putting Buds on like this playmaker role, but I would rather see Hafi or Quillmat on. So like, I don't know, they didn't look comfortable and they weren't playing the meta. So I think that that's why. Like, again, usually they have a game plan. Usually, like, they will be the team that runs the four tanks. They will be the team that runs the Beyblade. Like, whatever is the strongest flavor of the month is usually Fnatic running.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have to see how they can recover. And again, like, losing your first match, it definitely puts you in a really bad spot where you have to win the next two in a row. And Fnatic's group, actually, who's in their group? Let me see with them.
I think that was the hardest match they'll have.
Was it? Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
Kungju Panthera is very good. There's like very few teams I think that are in that tournament from Korea. I think that are like really, really good. I think Kungju Panthera is definitely one of them. I think they might be better than Lunatic High right now, depending on.
Oh really? Wow.
Yeah.
I thought Lunatic High was probably still a little bit.
The new Lunatic High roster looks meh, but we'll get to that, I guess.
Yeah. Well. Looks mad, but still, which kind of leads us to the next match, was Lunatic High versus Africa Red, where, I don't know, Lunatic High looked way better than Africa Red there, and I'm not sure how much of it was Africa Red just not being very good versus, I mean, Africa Blue looks so much better than Red, in my opinion. I don't know, what do you guys think?
I think it's pretty close between the two. Anohana, also known as Flower now, is... one of the special talents.
Yeah, for sure.
I haven't like studied his gameplay in detail, but every time I see him on the OGN stream, he blows my mind. So yeah.
But will he even be allowed to play anymore? That's really the new question.
What happened?
So like, I guess I don't personally understand the severity of the crime or whatever. It's it's not really a crime. I mean, I guess it's a crime in Korea. It's like really, really, there's like a weird, I can't really explain it. I'm not the right person to explain it. The way I understand it though, and it's probably wrong, is that like he was a part of like some underground, like Korean internet, like organization or something that like is some anti-government and like made some very, very inappropriate jokes on the internet a long time ago. And like, they're starting to get resurfaced.
I feel like everybody has this toxic past. I mean, this is something Taimu is known for, a lot of other people.
Yeah, I think it's, like, toxic in, like, an illegal way. Oh. Like, I think that there's, like, actually laws against it. So, yes.
That doesn't sound very good.
The way I understood it, it would be, like, the equivalent of if you were, like, I don't know what the, like, shit-talking Putin or something, but, like, in, like, a very dictator-centric, like, you will go to jail. Like, I don't know, like, you know what I mean? Like, in that kind of manner. Like, in a way where it was illegal to, like, shit-talk your leader?
Good thing that's not a law here. Isn't, like, South Korea super progressive? I don't know.
Oh yeah, he had a back band, and he said something about the president. He was like making fun of the president that commits suicide, something, and it was like very frowned upon.
They might be progressive then, but they're not that progressive. I mean, we know how strict a lot of things are there, even just with social media and you know, just you having to link your social security to a lot of things, you know, in terms of gaming and even your social media, I believe, right? Like the whole, I remember back in this days.
And he had a back band. So like, and they're very anti-hacker in Korea. So there's a lot of things. So I'm not sure about, they apparently all had to delete their Twitter accounts, I think, or had their Twitter accounts deleted.
Okay. Wow.
There's a big fuss. I don't think anything has been resolved from it, but there's like a chance and a pretty good chance, I would say, of Nanohana just not being a thing after this, just because I know for a fact that they cut Pine for the same reason and Pine's gone.
Way.
I think like I Pine's Nanohana. Actually gone.
Flower.
So,
good.
So I don't know, man.
I'd be sad if that's the case. He's really good.
So like, so from what I understand, Ilbo involvement is like being a Nazi gamer gator, and like, it's pretty like harsh, you know.
Yeah,
it's not a good place to be.
No comment on this.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
No
enough.
Idea. Exactly. No
I
idea.
I really don't know enough.
But yeah, overall, just Lunatic Eye, just 3-0 over Africa Red. By the way, Kongdu Panthera 3-0 over Fnatic also. So we'll see a bunch of these teams that seem to be dominating the first week playing each other starting this week. Well, I think Envious plays whoever. I forgot who they play, but they've got the easier group. But then we're going to see Misfits again, and then just a couple of these teams at the end of the week or the beginning of next week. Be sure to check those out. It's like really early in the morning, so you can check those VODs out on twitch.tv/OGN.
5 a.m. Eastern, 2 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah,
it's like the old StarCraft days, man.
Oh, it
respect
is, yeah.
Memories.
It's OGN Global, I believe, right?
OGN Global at the worst possible time for most of the globe.
But they split the matches up really nice. Like, nice.
Yeah,
actually,
it's well done.
Yeah, it's good. So, all right, the next one, NGE. So I didn't get a chance to catch every single match with NGE, but I did catch the last couple days worth. Any big news here, Flame, that you wanted to point out, touch any teams that really stood out to you?
I mean, Immortals is playing well. I think most of the teams struggled. They like, it didn't look clean. It wasn't like very clean. There were a lot of roster swaps going on during this tournament and like players switching teams and like new, like the teams that you would expect to do good, like the Complexities and the Liquids, were all like mid roster shuffle or just like internal problems, whether it be like cutting your coach or like losing your coach or picking up a new player or whatever. So it's hard to like deduce much. I think like the brackets are actually really, really close. Like I think most teams were like 7-3, 6-4, 5-4, mm-hmm, or whatever at the end, which was really nice. But from a gameplay standpoint, there were like a lot, like, I don't know. I think it validified the concept of the NA ult. There was a lot of that. It wasn't clean, you know, like, right. 'Cause if you watch like Apex and stuff, you're like, oh, these are pretty high level matches. Or even MLG, like FaZe got like beat really bad in that tournament, but again, like they're losing players, and like it's a weird spot for the scene to be in with that tournament, because I think it was during most of the roster shuffling. So I don't know, that's more or less my take on it.
Yeah, and we're rounding out into the finals, right? It's basically in two
this
days.
Weekend. Yeah,
yeah, it's at PAX South, right? It's
on the new patch too, and that's another interesting thing is that the teams that might not be the best at the patch,
that's,
and that's going to create like a very different like
scenario. Weird results, yeah, based on
teams that were first in that might be like fourth now. I don't know.
Yeah, Immortal and Kangarna, just to round out the top four, it's Complexity, Luminosity, Kangarna, and Immortals.
Kangarna known for their D.Va play, probably,
yep,
like
that's
one
right.
of the best D.Vas, and now D.Va's dead, but she has the best skin, so maybe you pick her for the skin. I don't know.
Is she going to be dead? I think some of these are still going to be running.
No, she's,
just
dead. She's dead?
Okay.
She's actually dead, Hero.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, she's going to lose 1v1s to like Tracer in 76 now. It's not going to be a good place to be. Didn't understand actually how
that's
much
true.
Difference it makes, like when Winston's on you with armor versus not. And now that the armor might be gone, it's, I don't know, she's in a rough spot for sure.
Yeah, I didn't actually realize it'd be that big a difference. But yeah, definitely 76 and Tracer will have a field day on her. No question.
And Reaper too. Reaper's going to have a lot better time. Yeah, man, it's just a weird state right now for Western Overwatch esports. so many of the top teams, the most famous teams, the most high skilled teams are out in Korea playing like twice a week. And like these NA tournaments are just, they're relegated to basically like the up and coming teams and the mid tier teams. So NGE, it's going to be interesting this weekend. It's 100K, six teams.
It's a big tournament. Like it's a big,
but it's still not like premier Overwatch right now. I mean, this is like the best we're getting for Western tournaments.
But overall, though, I mean, you're right about that, Ben, but I like it. I like the fact that we have this kind of going on. And, you know, even with Alienware, too, we're about to talk about that. I like the fact that there's a little bit of a sandbox for some of these up-and-coming teams so they get a chance to have some success. They get a chance for us to even talk about them. Otherwise, we'd just be talking about MVS and, you know, like over and over again and just be overshadowed. And it'd be a little bit top-heavy, to be honest. So one thing that's cool to see just in this particular tournament is that there's a lot of parity. Like, even though the records don't really show it, I feel like a lot of these matches are close. And, you know, from the standpoint of relative skill and seeing great matches because of it, you know, it's entertaining because of that. I don't know if you guys feel the same way about that. You know, you're just always looking for just top level, you know, Overwatch skill. But as a spectator, I think it's great getting a chance to see some, you know, really tight matches and have a tournament that has, you know, literally any team could win at one point, I felt. And I still kind of felt that. Obviously, we're down to four, but I still felt like all those teams had a shot if it wasn't for some roster changes and things like that.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really fun to watch this weekend. I'm actually going to be at PAX South for Twitch stuff. If they still want to tap me as a caster, I'll be there, guys. I will be there. Just say the word. But it's going to be cool because it's taking place on the PAX show floor. So It'll be a kind of cool opportunity to see how much organic interest there is in the general gaming audience to watch Overwatch esports. My gut feeling is there's going to be a lot. I mean, this is a huge game. I think it's going to attract a lot of people who are just going to PAX, may not even know about Overwatch esports, to sit down and watch. So I'm excited to see how the audience fills out and interacts.
So is that a booth? I mean, they're not bringing that mini stadium over there, right?
I assume it's going to be like
it's at the PAX Arena.
Oh, no, it's NGE. It's NGE, right? Yeah, so
it's NGE, but it's at the PAX Arena, which is a stage. Actually, Twitch and ReadPop, the organizers of PAX, have collaborated on building. Excuse my voice crack. That's been at like four or five PAXs now. So it's a little mini stage. I think in the past they've probably had, I don't know, a couple hundred seats at most.
I hope the PCs are better than PAX East. I will say that for the sake of the players.
Oh, boy.
Because I remember, that was early, right? I don't remember. That might have just been the client too. But I remember the being like, oh my God. It's like 60 hertz or something. So I hope that they have like legitimate PCs for the 100K tournament. But
right. Who are the hardware sponsors for the PAX?
Yeah, that's more or less my biggest question. I don't know. PAX will be good though. There's also a Nintendo Switch there. You should check that out. Tell me how it is.
There is?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. Hype. Let's go.
Forget about casting.
Forget casting, dude. Play some Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, exactly. No, but $100,000, lots of money on the line for one of these teams. It's pretty exciting. And then lastly, we've got Alienware Monthly Melee starting again. And got a chance to watch a little bit of it over the weekend. And we saw Hammers. Hammers ended up winning the whole thing. Again, spoilers, that ended up beating Luminosity. And I have to say, like, this particular event, we started seeing some, you know, newer teams. Hammers has been doing pretty well recently, but a lot of people still don't know who they are. But Spicy Boys, Hammers, I think they had a pretty good showing. What do you guys think?
A team that no one's even heard of winning an Alienware Monthly Melee. It wasn't, like, the most stacked ever, but, you know, it's winning over teams like Rise, Luminosity, Splice, Liquid, FaZe, all in this tournament, and a team that no one's even heard of takes the win. That's pretty sick. That's great. Like, that's really cool to see.
Yeah, they're tank abusers. I mean, like, they're the number one team to probably get boned by the patch, I would say, right now in my eyes, but like they have this play style that is literally just, we're going to group up as six and we're going to run our Reinhardt at you. And like, we're never going to put the shield up because why? and that's kind of their play style. It's pretty good. I mean, it worked out.
I mean, it was very heavy. I mean, it was like four tank, like for the most.
It was like four tanks, yeah, and like the Reinhardt would never put a shield up. He would just swing at you, and the Anna would keep everyone alive, and like that was more or less the mentality. It worked out. I mean, LG almost beat them. LG actually could have beaten them, but like lost by like a Torbjorn ult or something. Like I don't know, a molten core. There was a bug with a molten core at one point that might have made the difference. So they weren't like dominating through the bracket, but they were. They definitely came out on top, but their strategy was very tank.
Yeah, we'll have to see how they adjust to it. But there were multiple teams that were just very, very tank heavy, like in that particular.
Spicy tournament. Boys, though.
Yeah, they look good.
Very
right?
not tank heavy, and like did very well. I thought they have very good up and coming players. I think I hope that they don't get poached. I think is my biggest.
Yeah, that tends to happen, right?
I don't want that team to break up for like some other team. I think there's a lot of tier one teams right now that like are starting to feel not tier one anymore, and they're getting scared, so they're gonna start trying to poach the new players. Hope that like the new players just stick to their guns.
There's still a lot of free agents out there.
Yeah, there's a ton of free agents. I'm surprised we're at a point where, yeah, the talent is lacking for just top tier teams to pick, more well known players. Given that there is some marketability to well known players. Some of these unknowns.
No, you gotta get the coachable players.
The coachable players, that's true.
The dreamcasters of the world, the cozies of the world, the sicknesses of the world.
Yeah, exactly. No, but overall, I think it's great for Hammers. It's great for Spicy Boys to get a chance to do that. And even Luminosity, like when we talk a little bit about Luminosity, they were part of that big trade, the big three team trade. And I don't know, how are we liking that team right now? How are they looking to you guys?
They haven't been performing nearly as well as I expected them to. I mean, they had moments of brilliance in the Beyblade meta, if I'm remembering correctly, and now they've been together in a team house, to my understanding, for some time, and it really hasn't improved their results at all. In fact, they continue to sort of slide, it looks like. So I think over in the Luminosity camp, you got to start being a little bit worried about the future of this roster. If you look at other teams as an example, a few tournaments in a row of subpar performance usually means something's going to be mixed up. Maybe they're in it for the long haul, and that's totally good too. But definitely seems like there's something that's not really clicking with that team.
Yeah, individually, I think that they have a very strong roster.
Absolutely.
I think like Spree is probably one of the best Zarya's right now. I think Super Pluke is definitely making a case for one of the better tanks. Heedon, obviously, one of the best Annas in the game. So it might have just been the patch. Maybe they'll be good now. I think Ube is very talented. He just didn't seem like he was having a good time in the tank meta. Like he's very good at Roadhog, but he didn't want to play it. And I guess to the topic of the, what's it called? Of like the team house, I don't think half of them are there. I think two of them are still in Europe. I think Ube's still in Europe, and I think there's one more that's still in Europe. So maybe the team house will fix it when they move over.
Oh, I see. I thought they had already all moved over.
I think it's just four of them. So they have time, I think. They're looking very good. They lost. Yeah. I mean, they only lost, I think, Hammers in that tournament. They lost twice to Hammers.
Yeah, they did.
So,
there are times where Ube was
there. They're good. Super good. Just, they need some. Yeah, they got top four at NGE. Like, they're going to be at NGE lane, and they did get second at Alienware. They're just not. You expect better things of them, I guess, but
sometimes it takes a little bit longer. And like you said, there's some logistical issues right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, why don't we round out into the Q&A section? But before that, did want to give a shout out to a bunch of the folks listening to the show on iTunes. We seem to be getting more and more every week, and that's really, really great. It's starting to grow there. But do want to give a shout out to a couple folks that have left 5-star reviews and some nice comments for us. Captain Rogers and reviewer 003. Thanks so much for doing that. And if you guys do listen to the show on your iPads or your iPhones and enjoy it, why don't you, if you leave a 5-star review, it really helps out the show, helps people find the overview whenever they're searching for Overwatch podcasts. So yeah, do that if you can. So all right, Q&A guys, and this is we're taking emails from the community, and the first email we got is from Luke B, and it basically asks, would you like to see a rear view mirror ability added to Reinhardt's kit? And he kind of mentions, you know, a few things in his, you know, just he'd love to see it. He thinks that it might be bad for esports just because it would be really, really hard to watch. And I agree with that. Like, camera wise, it'd be pretty tough. But overall, like, I think it would, you know, basically be useful is kind of what he was thinking. What do you guys think with that sort of ability?
I've never seen it in an FPS before. It's kind of a hilarious concept of like having a rear view mirror for a character. I don't know. I mean, I've said it before, anything that is going to up the skill cap of the game and is good. In theory, you could make that argument here, but certainly never seen it in any FPS. So I'm not really sure it makes a ton of sense. And also, let's not forget, when you right click, when you're holding up your shield, you know, you're getting good amount of vision anyway, right? So I don't know.
Well, I think his point was just, you know, being able to see where your healer is, for instance.
Gotcha.
It might not be such a big deal in tournament play and just the top level, but definitely when you're playing with casuals, there's the times when I play Reinhardt, I'm like, okay, guys, follow me, and then, like, you know, they're with me, and then all of a sudden nobody's with me and they're doing their own thing, and I'm assuming that there's a healer behind me.
True.
So I think it's for situations like that. Would it even make sense to you guys design wise? I mean, because I think that's the real question. Like, you know, with FPS games, like you said, Ben, most of the time, yeah, I mean, you're supposed to have to move, you know, your field of vision is supposed to only be in front of you. So adding some kind of ability where, you know, you can basically have camera angles, you know, for yourself, is that really conducive for this type of FPS design?
I don't think it fits. I don't know. It's kind of a strange concept.
Yeah, I mean, they have it in Mario Kart, but
I know that's
like, exactly. I mean, I understand why exactly it would be why. Good though. It's you'll be playing Reinhardt and you're like, you have your shield up. I wouldn't hate, actually. You know what you could do to fix this? Like the way Lucio, when you have the aura, it says like how many people are getting affected by your aura. I wouldn't mind if there was like a how many people are directly behind your shield number on your screen. You know, like in a line of sight, straight behind the Reinhardt. Mm-hmm. Maybe that would make things better. Mm. So that way, if it says like zero, maybe you could just drop it.
Okay.
That'd
definitely be useful. That'd be kind of strange.
It would solve the same problem, but maybe different.
Yeah. But not a bad idea, but I'm not sure if it would, you know, work quite as well. And I think another thing he was talking about is just that, you know, Reinhardt doesn't have a melee, right? So maybe it could replace that ability. And I kind of agree, generally speaking, that some of the characters that don't have like something like an ability mapped to, you know, every single key, you know, or they're lacking an ability should have something filled for it. I do wish like some of these melee characters did have something that they could use instead. I don't know.
That would be kind of neat.
You ever feel it's imbalanced in any way because of that?
Mm.
Not really. Okay.
Not particularly. No.
Okay. Well, let's see. The other one is more of a comment than it is a question, now that I'm reading through it a little bit closer. But I guess it's a general, just from Jason L., just a general question about individual play versus team play, just like raw skill versus team play. And how do you actually seeing that laid out right now in terms of Western teams and in Korea? Do you think the raw skill is still equal from the standpoint of regions, and there's just a real difference in team play right now, or do you think it's any kind of dynamics there? Is there any kind of difference there?
Koreans are amazing at the team play aspect. We've seen them just show really high levels of synergy, a couple of teams, not all of them. So I think that from a team play perspective, they're going to be... They're only going to get better and better and better and come up with more unique, specific strategies mm-hmm. that involve the most minute movements and teams flowing together perfectly. I think already, in a way, other than like Envious, we already see the Korean teams arguably with kind of cleaner teamwork. But I don't think that necessarily means that like Western teams are making up the difference with just raw skill either. I mean, the West, if you look at some of the top Western teams, they're pretty amazing as well, particularly envious when it comes to executing and moving together as a team. You know, he does kind of mention some of the in this comment, James or Jason does kind of mention some of these outlier talents that we do have in the West. And I will agree, guys like Sherfor, guys like Taimu, you know, of course, Genji's like Shadowburn are on such a high plateau when it comes to just raw skill that they amaze and inspire awe. And there's so many moments, so many highlight reels and moments coming from those guys. But I also think if you look at the Korean side, you can look at guys like Zumba and guys like Flower, Nanahana, and see that same level of skill. So, in a way, I would kind of agree that Korea might be slightly ahead of the West when it comes to teamwork, but I honestly don't think that the teamwork versus raw skill question is as interesting as the actual difference in play style. Because there is a very, very big difference in play style between NA and EU and what we're seeing out of Korea, particularly right now. Where NA and EU have been sticking to the Divas, the Zarya's, the Roadhogs, the Reinhardts, and the 76. Whereas in Korea, and we touched on this earlier in the show, you're seeing tons of Tracer, tons of Genji in a lot of situations that you're not seeing that at all out of the Western teams. They're playing 2-2-2 a lot more. So in my opinion, like, you could kind of argue this, like, everyone's going to have a different opinion, I think, on Korea skill versus teamwork and NA skill versus teamwork. But I think the more interesting conversation, in my opinion, is kind of just the difference in play style.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think during like the past month or two where it's been tank heavy, I don't really know how much individual performance has really shown through.
Right.
So I think like we'll start seeing the answer to that question evolve more as this patch starts running through. If teams start running dive comps, like maybe like one Tracer might be able to take over a game or one Genji or whatever, more so than in the past.
Yeah.
I think on the whole, though, I would say that even like Koreans team play right now, at least in OGN, isn't like super, super impressive. Like on the whole of the scene, there's definitely teams that are like very good at it, but I don't think that there's like a huge disparity in the way that they're approaching the game right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And last comment, just at least what I could tell is that, you know, there comes to a point at the highest level that, you know, you can't have somebody just completely carry a team. You know, we've seen Shadowburn in particular in recent history carry his team like to the finals, you know, in a lot of these events. And it's like super impressive, but at a certain point, like, you know, this guy is talking, Jason talks a lot about basketball. There, at a certain point, the superstars have to be, you know, have to work within the framework of a team to actually reach, you know, to the highest level. And I think we see the same thing in Overwatch, too. But anyways, let's wrap up, guys. I think that's been a great show. We've had lots of stuff to talk about. But Flame, you want to start out with some shout-outs? Where can people find you?
Find me on Twitch. Find me on Discord. Discord is actually probably more successful than Twitch right now.
Yeah.
Weird. But
dude, Discord's stepping it up. I got this like Discord Nitro message that they have like more emotes.
Your
and
avatar.
Stuff. Yeah, dude. There's like
and all of your emotes become global now, which is insane. Actually,
yeah, that's fucking awesome, man.
But good stuff. Yeah, Discord's stepping up their game. The audio is really good.
What's the Discord?
It's discord.gg/flame. Actually.
Wow.
How about that? Pardon?
Yes, imagine that.
Sick.
All right. Easy. Ben, shout outs?
Looking forward to watching a bunch of CTF streams. I hope some... So you can't... Did we learn if you can or you can't make custom games with CTF?
You can't.
You
right?
can't.
Ah.
I know, right?
Ugh. I really want to see some like super high-level CTF just to see what the hell happens, because that would be awesome. Patch hit today. Much-needed patch. We're all really happy about this. Yep. Looking forward to seeing how the meta changes. Absolutely make sure to watch the NGE finals, the winter premiere finals, this weekend at PAX South. It's going to be on the same channel they've been running everything on so far. It's going to be really exciting and fun to watch. I'll be there in the audience, most likely. So make sure to tune into that. Apex is still going. And that's pretty much it for like the main tournaments that you should be watching this week. But yeah, awesome. I actually will be able to make next show now that I think about it. So there's your warning.
Yeah. All right. I guess I get a week's warning.
From
yes.
San Antonio.
It's amazing. Awesome.
But yeah, thanks for tuning in.
You're going to be there the whole week, right? That's going to be fun. I wanted to go to Sal too. Oh, at the last minute, I had to cancel. But yes, just for the NGE stream, by the way, it's Overwatch underscore NGE for those of you that might not have been watching some of the matches. But yeah, I'll round things out. Thanks to the two of you guys for doing the show with me today. Everybody for watching. It's always a pleasure to have the chat just, you know, humming away whenever we're talking. And if you guys didn't catch the beginning of the show, you can find the VODs on youtube.com/ChamMV, as well as all the other previous episodes, all of our great episodes that we've done in the past. You can find them all there. And if you're an iTunes listener, the show will be up a little bit later tonight, as well as Android and just all the awesome podcast channels that that are on mobile. They'll all be there by tomorrow morning, so definitely check it out there. But that's going to be it, guys, this week for the overview. So for Flame, Fish Sticks, and myself, Chan Man V, we'll see you next week.
Later.